Sheeman and Shepard, rocking you like a hurricane. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hurricanes will be rocking out against Louisville on Saturday.
Nice segue, Pete Shepard.
Hopefully.
Crispin and the Stacks of Wax, rocking it on the other side. Must commend him over the last day and a half. He's done a nice job. No country music.
You could say the last year that I've been doing it.
Actually, last time, earlier this week, I believe you played Rock You Like a Hurricane.
That was
acoustic.
Yeah, that was Friday.
That's good.
And that was a mistake.
That was a mistake.
You punched up the wrong one.
Yeah, it was a mistake. Or no, was that? That might have been this week. You know what?
It was this week.
It might have been.
It was the day you were juggling five soccer games at once and not paying attention to the show.
And in the words of...
No!
In the words of...
Dang it, Chris! I don't want to watch that garbage.
It's Manchester United. Come on.
In the words of the late, great Bob Ross, there are no mistakes, Chris. There are happy accidents.
Just put a pretty tree right here.
Maybe a little
happy branches.
Just get your titanium white. First, let's just brush the canvas.
Titanium white.
Add a little pink and blue here and mix it with some.
Bleep all that. You said Manchester United. I'm watching Paris and Munich.
M-U-N. Manchester United. M-U-N.
Maybe let's get our fan brush. Maybe a tree goes. Let's get our fan brush. Just tap back and forth, back and forth. By the way, Craig just said he's following a Russian basketball game where the team is favored by 57.
Women's
54.
Russian basketball in the Euro Cup League. I told you if I start laying action on stuff like that, you guys got to rein me in.
Nah.
I didn't put anything on it. I was just watching it.
Wait, and you're giving me a hard time of
watching
soccer?
No,
I'm watching the score, the ticker score, which is probably worse than watching soccer on actual TV.
It's absolutely worse.
Do you think?
Yes.
This is how you had to watch your North Carolina Tar Heels last night.
We are watching the games the exact same way. I was so livid. And then I'm going on Twitter. And
you're livid because you couldn't get off the stream, but I thought I told you that because I wanted to watch the Hurricanes
one ACC
night.
No ACC Network.
And I had to go out. I went out to, local establishment to watch.
You told me, but I didn't really put much into it.
Because it was North
Carolina.
Because I
didn't care. Right, exactly. Because I didn't care. And then I'm glad I don't watch sporting events with Twitter.
Yeah.
It was getting me angry. 3 minutes in.
Why?
Twitter's going in on how Cole Anthony's dad was better. It's 3 minutes into his career. You've never seen the kid play before. His dad probably is better.
Who's going in? A bunch of Yahoo fans?
Yeah.
And, that's what fans do.
But still, it was like, it was infuriating.
People
like,
younger than you are probably doing most of the commenting. They have no idea about the history.
Give the kid a break. Missed one shot. Rather have his dad. Great. You know what? Awesome analysis.
Twitter is just very, very stupid.
It's very stupid.
But I love it. I'm on it every day.
Oh, we're all on it. But it's good information, but there's a lot of stupidity. There's a lot of trolling.
Yeah, no doubt.
But
all right, time now. We'll hear from Dabo and Nick and preview tonight's game with John Gruden. All that coming up. Time now, though, for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
All right, tonight, Thursday night football, the last primetime game in Oakland, at least in the regular season. The Raiders host the Chargers. Coverage starts at 8 o'clock on 99.3 ESPN, 8:20 kickoff on Fox and on the NFL Network. USC has named Cincinnati's Mike Bone. Bon?
We're going with Bon.
Bon.
I'm going to go Bone. As its new athletic director, the university announced that officially today. And Antonio Brown went Antonio Brown and said, bleep the NFL on Twitter.
Nice job. Dolphins Nostalgia wants to know how No Shave November is going. Pete is not participating.
I'm not clean shaving today, but I forgot. And I've got the parents I got to be at in the 60s. It's hard.
Why don't you listen to how it's going?
Yeah. Doesn't mean I don't.
Now, hold on. He's rubbing his two whiskers on the foam.
Well, see, now they're not prickly anymore. They're like.
It's going to start a fire.
Yeah.
See, I'm at that awkward stage where I got it, like, it's coming.
You look homeless?
Now I look bad.
You look me homeless. Too.
But it's not filling it.
You look homeless?
Do I look homeless?
Should go ring a bell outside of Walmart or something. Help Craig.
That's the Salvation Army.
I'm not saying those are different things. The Salvation Army is great. I understand that. Looks like they've already started.
I mean, now if you want me to hold up a cardboard sign outside the street corner.
Go fund me.
Man. All right. We got ourselves the exhibition game of the century that really doesn't count on Saturday between LSU
stop it.
And Alabama.
It's such a
Because the 13-team committee is going to do whatever they want to do. They've already predetermined what they want to do and who they want in the Final Four.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. No teams have any say in it. It's just
no, the teams don't have any say in it. No, they just got to go through the motions.
You
and
are so scared of Georgia winning out. It's frightening.
No, I'm very comfortable. It's not going to happen.
He's absolutely
frightening.
Right.
Frightening.
Here is Nick Saban. Of course, he keeps getting questions about Tua and the ankle, even though he said 10 days ago it was a game-time decision. But Tua is progressing. That's where we play the soundbite.
Oh, sorry.
Jeez.
I know you're going to ask me about
Tua. He's
watching
the damn soccer game.
But, look, Tua's worked hard to try to get back where he has an opportunity to play. He's been able to practice some. We still don't know what his status for the game is going to be. We'll make it when the game comes. I don't know what kind of setbacks he's going to have and how he's going to continue to progress.
I was
watch him not start him on purpose, just out of spite.
Comes in the second play.
Yeah. I was listening to a gambling show, just coincidentally, not because I have a problem. And they were saying that the line is, what, 6 on this. They all believe that this would be 10 if we knew for sure that Tua was starting.
See, I read something last night that if Tua were fully healthy, this is a 7.5-point game. Mm-hmm. Alabama would be a 7.5-point favorite. Yeah. Without him, they'd be a 2.5-point dog.
Mm. Differing opinion on this other show I was listening to.
Now, that's about a 10-point window.
It's huge.
Yeah, that's huge. All right, here's the others. Oh, Dabo Swinney from Clemson. He's finally talking about the sham of a poll, although he's probably spot on at number 5. He's not worried about Clemson being number 5 right now.
I found out pretty quick because, you know, all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up. Gas up the bus, coach. people are so mad, and I'm like, man, it's all good. We're one of those teams, you know. Hey, we're in the mix. We just got to keep winning. And hopefully we'll scratch and claw. And, you know, only got one spot to go to get in there. So hopefully we can play well enough. We got a lot of ball left. You know, hopefully we have 4 more games. And, you know, that's going to be, you get what you earn. You get 12, and you got to earn anything after that. And, you know, you can't win 12 till you win 10.
He thrives on this anyway. He loves this, and he knows it's they are going to kill NC State this week. So I don't care what the spread is.
It's going to be bad.
I'm taking Clemson.
It's like 35.5.
Take it.
Play the points.
I think this is where you have to run it up.
Yeah.
And they say the reason why they did all this was to stop that, but it helps.
Yeah.
So I expect blowout city, like 62-20. I'm serious.
All right.
You think they scored 20? Clemson's the number one defensive efficient
garbage,
team.
Garbage touchdown, but I think they win by 42. I'm serious. I will put it. You can put that down, sticky pad. Not a sandwich bet, but sticky. I think Clemson wins by at least 42.
All right. Now, you had something about college football playoffs you wanted to...
I don't know how you cannot be thrilled if this scenario were not to happen, okay?
Okay.
And based on where we are right now with the top 8 teams, okay?
Okay.
You would have in Columbus, Ohio this week, just for bleeps and giggles...
If this were the playoffs
humor
today?
Just humor me and be honest.
If this were the playoffs
today? Playoffs today, you'd have Utah at Ohio State in Columbus. At University Park.
Be better if Urban Meyer was still
this
around.
Is how many? How many team?
This is an 8. 8 team.
Okay. At University,
basically everybody.
University Park, and you'd have Penn State hosting Clemson. How awesome would that be? In Baton Rouge, you'd have the LSU Tigers hosting Oregon, and then in Tuscaloosa, Alabama hosting Georgia. Alabama would play the winner of LSU Oregon. Ohio State would play, or Utah would play the winner of Clemson, Penn State. You telling me that doesn't get your juices flowing?
Pete, that's never been the argument. Yes, it would be fantastic.
It is for him. He doesn't want to see
it. No. The argument is...
Pointing to Craig. He's the him.
I know. I know that. But the argument is, yes, the 8-team playoff, I have no doubt that the matchups we got would be spectacular. Can't miss TV.
Right.
This turns into like a... it's a pretty nice college football weekend.
Right.
It's what it does to the regular season, not what it does to the postseason. I like that the regular season, that the loser of the Alabama-LSU game, it's not a for sure thing that you're out, but it's an uphill climb now. You need some other things to happen in order to get into the playoffs.
And we agree more so for Alabama, we think.
Yeah, I think a close loss for LSU, and they should probably still be in the top 4.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean,
I'm just
what
saying.
Chris just said is, it was eloquently put. the way I said it yesterday.
I understand.
But I said it that way.
I understand what you're saying. I just don't, for me, it doesn't take away from the regular season.
But
it doesn't. I'm just as excited now, just like I am with a lot of regular season NFL games, which I know are going to be some playoff rematches. Doesn't make me less excited. That's just me. I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying me.
If you just have a little more patience and you wait till September 14th, 2030, and August 30th, 2031, Georgia and Ohio State open up the season against each other in September and August, respectively. How about that?
Great.
Fantastic. And that'll
11 years from now?
And that game won't mean anything either, because by then we'll have 32 teams in the college football playoff.
I'll be retired.
I will be on the committee. And I will hold up a sign.
I'll be dead or retired. I won't be here to argue anymore.
I'll hold up a really nasty sign that says something about Craig Sheeman. Craig Sheeman, recuse yourself from watching any of these games. I told you I would get my way.
Yeah.
Sign me.
All right.
But
More news. We got ourselves a Thursday night football game tonight, NFL, Chargers and Raiders, the last primetime game in Oakland, barring a playoff. Let's take a listen to Anthony Lynn, head coach of the Chargers, going to be entering tonight's game with a little bit of confidence.
Winning breeds confidence, and so you want to play as soon as you can, you know, after you get one of those wins. But, these Thursday night games, they're tough. I mean, they're tough. It's a quick turnaround. So we really practice recovery and mental preparation this week.
All right. Mm. Now on the other side, John Gruden praising his man Derek Carr because he now has emerged as a coach on the field.
You know, I think he's a coach on the field instead of a player on the field. You know, he learned in a new offense last year. He was playing, and we had two rookie tackles. We had a lot of issues, a lot of injuries, a lot of problems last year. I don't want to reiterate those, but he was playing the best he could play, and he played pretty good. But now he's coaching. You know, he sees it before it happens. He's as good a coach as we have on our staff, and he's really a heady player, and he's got incredible arm talent. We know that, but I think his ownership of the offense, his leadership, his coach on the field.
Did you ever think that he and Derek Carr would get into this position where he's oohing and on over Derek Carr? Or did you think Derek Carr – we all thought Derek Carr was being traded out of there. John Gruden didn't want anything to do with him, right? If we go back in time and be honest.
I'm surprised that the chemistry has been this good, to be honest with you. It's not to mention – but it's certainly, your Lions, who should have won that last week.
Yeah.
You know, then all of a sudden it changes things. But, I mean, overall, I mean, he's having a pretty decent season.
Yep. Here is Derek Carr. He says this is a big, big game tonight.
I don't want to get it lost in all this. I mean, we lost to them twice last year, right? You know, we need to get this win. We need to make sure we handle this and take care of business.
All right. So we'll see that game.
They lose tonight. If they ever lose this game tonight,
right.
Then, I mean, it's kind of like.
Don't get duped in the fact that the Chargers beat the drunk Packers.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers today was asked about that. Where did I have it? Great quote. And
something about him not getting a rest, which was code word for weird.
He said the last 48 hours, they did not get proper rest. Translation, hung over.
In L.A.?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Earlier today, we were talking about Cam Newton and what's going on, because I think in South Street, we had a Ron Rivera quote about it's time to put Cam Newton on injured reserve. I found a quote from former Panthers running back D'Angelo Williams. He is ripping. In fact, it was on First Take, I think. Ripping the Panthers coaching staff for their treatment of Cam Newton. He said he's mad at offensive coordinator North Turner and mad at head coach Ron Rivera. He says, what you're asking Kyle Allen to do is not what you ask Cam to do. You ask Cam to win it with his legs. You ask Cam Newton to pass out water bottles. You ask Cam to read defense. You ask Cam to beat you in so many ways. All Kyle Allen is doing is stepping back, throwing the ball, and handing the damn ball off to Christian McCaffrey. All I'm saying is what you're asking Kyle Allen to do. When Cam comes back, ask him to do the same thing and compare apples to apples, not oranges to oranges. Because you're asking Cam not to just manage a game and not lose one. You're asking him to go out and win. All Kyle Allen is doing is managing a game not to lose.
I disagree with that.
I disagree with that 1,000%.
This is a guy who made an ass of himself on NFL Network last year.
Oh, was that him?
Yes. Yes, that's him.
On their morning show.
Yeah, yeah. Made an ass of himself on the NFL Network.
Was he challenged while he was making an ass? Probably not. He's probably allowed to spew that nonsense.
He absolutely was. He looked
good,
at...
I don't remember that.
And I don't watch Good Morning Football, so... Yeah. Sorry to label him this way. Yeah,
right.
They got two white guys on the show.
Right.
Right. He looked at the two white guys and basically said, you never played in the NFL. So you don't know what you're talking about. And
did Katie come back and say something?
Not Katie, but who was the former Lions wide receiver who's on that show?
Nate Burleson.
Nate Burleson looked at him and goes, whoa, that's a cheap shot, and basically put D'Angelo Williams in his place because D'Angelo Williams was saying it's going to be an easy game for the Pittsburgh Steelers against the New England Patriots.
He can't get over the Super Bowl.
No, look, he's trying to make a name for himself, and it's just wrong what he's saying. Cam Newton was not asked to do anything with his legs this season before the foot injury.
Right.
His foot injury happened when he was trying to avoid a sack in a meaningless preseason game against the New England Patriots.
Right.
It had nothing to do with him running the ball in the regular season. Absolutely nothing.
And besides, when Cam was Cam, you wanted him to run, throw, hand out bottles of water and do everything because he could. Why wouldn't you? When Cam was Cam, he could do everything. I just think this is a stupid comment by him.
I agree. And I think if you talk to – I mean – if Cam really thought he could play, do you not think he would like blow a little mini gasket?
He absolutely would.
He would. That's why. Yeah. That's why he has. You haven't heard anything out of him.
Yeah, because he's defeated. He knows it's over.
Well, I don't know if he knows it's over.
Well,
but at least for this year. He's seen that he can't go out there at 75-80% and be effective.
Right.
He can't do it. There's a reason that this team lost. Was it his last 8 starts or his last 10 starts?
His last eight
starts in a row. There's a reason that this team wasn't winning. Cam was putting him in bad spots. He was missing open receivers.
He was, and he couldn't throw the ball down the field except for really half-assed Hail Marys. He obviously could not run. There were how many? A couple times this year? First and goal from the 1-inch line? They don't run. They don't do a quarterback sneak?
They didn't run him, actually. North Turner was trying to protect him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. They didn't run him.
Unlike Andy Reid, who Patrick Mahomes had a bad ankle, he still ran him on a quarterback sneak. That's a different story.
Meanwhile, Jets safety Jamal Adams said he spoke with GM Joe Douglas and head coach Adam Gase.
The kiss and make up?
Everything's good. Everyone apologized, and Adams hopes to be a Jet for a long time.
Oh, that's nice.
If I were Joe, I'd ship him out of town this offseason.
Why?
I don't need that in my locker room.
He's the best player they have.
Great.
Great.
That's not saying a lot.
Says the guy that just shipped off every ounce of talent on his team in Miami.
Yeah, if you want to be here, get lost. I guess he does want to be there.
Yeah.
Remember, this is not this GM's draft pick.
That's true. Pat Shurmur telling all the Giants step up or get out. He's going to start cutting people.
Ooh.
I know. Pat Shurmur's coaching
just
now.
Just in the nick of time, starting with Eli.
Yeah, right, right. Adam Thielen not practicing today, looking more and more unlikely to play. Chris, button that one up for your Chris's fantasies and who to play and who not to play. A lot of people have Adam Thielen at wide receiver. Go to our website, 99.3ESPN.com.
I just answered a question yesterday on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Somebody wanting to know, should he trade Adam Thielen or hang on to him and hope that he's healthy for the fantasy football playoffs?
And?
Yeah.
I think it depends where you're at in your fantasy league. If you've got to win now, go reach out to somebody at the top of the league who's clearly going to make the playoffs, and you got to get somebody in your lineup who can help you win and get to the playoffs. If you're at the top of the league, though, and you got Adam Thielen, just hold on to him. Unless you're going to bring back a lot for yourself, just you can afford to hang on to him.
Speaking of wide receiver, Amari Cooper received some positive news on his left knee. He said it's manageable. He plans on practicing tomorrow and is hopeful he'll be able to play Sunday night.
All right. Now, I saw a crawl earlier today, and I had to refresh my memory. It says that in a couple of weeks, Dez Bryant says he'll be able to talk to some teams. Is he suspended? I can't even remember Dez Bryant.
I don't think he's suspended.
He's just out of the league, right?
No, he had a ruptured Achilles last year with the Saints.
That's what it was.
And it takes
about a year
to get back.
He
signed
with the Saints for about 3 minutes and on his first practice blew the Achilles. That's what it was. Okay, he says he's going to be good in about 2 weeks and going to start talking to teams.
And it was about a year ago. I think it was in November last year where he blew out his Achilles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was the week he signed with the Saints.
That's right. Almost immediately.
I think it was the first practice.
Wow. Roaches and Bedroom Guy again about Chris Carter. Yeah, he got fired from Fox because he threw a nutty.
Well,
he missed a sixth straight episode of First Things First Thursday. He was ticked off about being passed over for Thursday Night Football pregame show, which is filmed downstairs from First Things First Thursday. They were flying people in from Los Angeles. They wouldn't fly him. He threw a nutty. They fired him.
There's actually, who's the guy who reports on all the sports media news?
Barrett? Jason Barrett?
No, not Jason Barrett. Andrew Marchand. He just put this tweet out a little while ago saying Chris Carter out at Fox Sports over a serious matter. The dispute is not about his absence from Thursday Night Football, according to sources. I don't know what the exact nature of the disagreement is yet. Mm. That's Andrew Marchand, who covers.
Do you want me to read in between the lines?
I
don't want to say it on the air. Probably got.
Well, careful. Well,
yeah, I'm going to be careful. On
careful.
You know, I'm going to sit this one out. I have my definite opinion of reading in between the lines of what he was accused of being. All right, I'm out.
Something behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But the fact is he did miss six shows in a row that he's supposed to be on. That's not disputed.
Well, maybe it's because they told him, you're not going on the air. We got to iron this out. You're being accused of something. That's what it sounds like to me now. The story is flipped just a little bit. But. To your point, he was unhappy with not being picked to be part of more Fox football pregame coverage, which is worthless anyway. I don't need five guys. I don't need eight guys. I don't need 10 guys sitting around a table telling me what I'm about to watch or what I just watched.
Do you watch it on Sunday anymore?
No more.
Any of them?
And I used
to watch it religiously.
I used to watch ESPN's Countdown every Sunday.
I start with that. I like Rex Ryan. I put it this way. I'll watch it from 10 to 10:45 or so.
I
usually go out. Or something happens. I'm not watching. I'll put another program on, a movie or something. Then I'll turn CBS on at noon.
I used to watch CBS or JB at noon, or I used to watch the Fox show. I wasn't particular. I watched them both because I knew
not all of it
because I knew a lot of people on both sides, and I will watch. But I don't turn my TV on until 1 o'clock.
It
does nothing for me.
I watch too much
pablum.
I watch about 10, 15 minutes. Yeah, grab ass.
And I don't need to see them making picks.
We
make our own picks. Yeah.
The only one I watch is Game Day.
Yeah.
College Game Day. That's on Saturdays at 9.
I'll tell you what, Saturday morning and turn that on.
No, you know what? I like NFL matchup, which is on like 7:30.
It's on early.
I wish that was on more. Howard Cosell's son is on, and usually Sal Powell.
Sal Powell hosts it, yeah.
That's a great show.
That's actually an NFL films property.
I wish that
ESPN has to play.
I wish that was 2 hours. That way, because that's fun. They break down film a little
excellent.
Bit.
Excellent.
They do a great.
I don't even watch Football Night in America anymore on Sunday night. Unless I want to catch a highlight. I watched
at 9 o'clock on Sunday. I watched the on ESPN too. We'll watch the gambling show. getting both because they do. They have reporters at their stadium. You're getting not only fantasy updates and. You know, they give their best bets and they do a lot of things and they make you think about some things, but it's way more entertaining.
I've gone over to ESPN2 on Sunday mornings where
that's
they do the daily wager start.
Really?
That's on from 10 to 11 and then they do the fantasy football now from 11 to 1.
But no, I think the
and
daily wager's on 9.
I need.
I think daily wager's
on
9 to 10.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys have tempted me now.
Oh.
Do you not put that on when you get home every day?
I told you I don't.
Oh, crap. Oh.
What, on the weeknight?
Every weeknight, it starts at 6 on ESPN News, the daily wager. Yeah. Doug Kazarian, who we've had on this show before, it's fantastic.
Is it just football or is it everything?
No, everything.
Everything. Everything. I flip back from that to
finding. No, I got to be honest. When I roll in the house at 6:30, I'm done talking sports for a couple hours until the primetime games are on.
Craig, put this show on.
Uh-huh.
Maybe don't put this show on.
Well, I do like to say hello to my wife for 5 minutes when I get home at 6:30.
That's fine.
But I'm going to be distracted by gambling now.
Because I get home every night at about 6:30, so by 6:45, I've kind of gone through and said hi to everybody. And I'm putting that on, and I'm seeing, hey, what's the best bet for tonight?
This is on the Deuce?
News.
Okay.
Have you seen ESPN News has now gone to where they have gambling graphics up 24/7.
I haven't watched ESPN News in months.
It's better.
Okay.
It's better.
All right. I'm in. So now I'm watching
in fact,
ESPN
just put
News.
That should be on ESPN all day. Everything.
Yes. Well, you know what?
Do we have it right now? Can I see what it looks like? Or is it...
Well, it's not on right now.
He's just got a soccer game.
No, ESPN News is on.
Yeah, but I don't know what's on. They probably have SportsCenter
on. Do they have gambling? I haven't watched ESPN News in years.
A lot of times SportsCenter's on there when they have other programming on.
Yeah. All right. Just kind of waiting around here.
Just give me a second.
That's all right. Yeah, I know. I asked you to do
NFL
something.
NFL Live, I could watch that. Oh, the Will Cain shows. That's right. They carry,
they carry ESPN Radio all the time. But look, they've always got nothing but, you know, odds and lines and season, everything.
Can we watch NFL Live?
No.
Please.
Put it back on Manchester United.
I'm asking my dad.
Hold the phone.
Can we watch NFL Live?
How great is that?
That's fantastic. Where have I been?
What, that chick's butt and the Leoga pants?
Yeah, that.
Okay.
It's it's a great show. And you learn a lot in there as well because they're going through, like for the NBA especially, they'll run through the injury reports. So you don't have to go and searching for everything. They're going to pull it all up right there for you.
Yeah.
They're getting into the weeds on a lot of this stuff too.
Do they got like somebody that's good, like a gambling version of a Feinbaum that really you
see,
can rely on?
See, here's the problem.
Who's
that
the breakthrough
here's
star?
The problem,
they have several.
Here's the problem I'm figuring out with this.
What?
If you're really good, like 70%, you don't do that because you can go off and do your own thing and have people pay you to buy your picks.
Okay.
So you're going to make more money doing it that way.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But I like some of the numbers they throw at you. There's a lot of trends and stuff that I like and... some interesting stuff. A lot of times Gabe throws those kind of stats at us, too.
And
a lot of times they pay off.
And even if you're not into gambling, if you just – it's a different way to look at the games. It's a different way to kind of look at it more through the analytical lens than through the stars that, like, Stephen A. Smith's SportsCenter is going to look at. Like, instead of James Harden and, you know, Russell Westbrook, they're going to take a look at kind of some of the other guys on the roster and give you more of an analytical approach to the game than – The big storylines.
I got to lock this in. It's like I've discovered plutonium. All right, when we come back, in honor of Philip Rivers, who's going to be playing football tonight, and Derek Carr, too, there was a list out. Bill Barnwell at ESPN put out a list, so get your list of music ready, Pete Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
The top 10 quarterbacks to never make it to a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl?
Never make it to a Super Bowl.
Okay, I think that's weird because a lot of good quarterbacks on that list. We'll take care of that. We've got Wikipedia, and don't forget, later on in the show, Tim Brando will join us from Fox Sports. We'll break down LSU and Alabama. All that more coming up. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Everybody get up.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I would be Craig Sheeman. He's Pete Shepard. And Chris spinning the ones and twos. Don't forget, we got Wikipedia coming up. Tim Brando from Fox Sports will break down LSU and Alabama before we leave the airwaves. We got a lot to do on the program. All right, tonight we have Thursday Night Football, and we've got Philip Rivers and the Chargers taking on the Oakland Raiders. So Bill Barnwell put together a list kind of in honor of Philip Rivers, who's had a very nice career, but no Super Bowls. Top 10 list of quarterbacks to never reach a Super Bowl.
And now, a list.
It's got a few honorable mentions like Bernie Kosar and Alex Smith.
Wasn't Bernie's fault.
Alex Smith. Oh, this is going to be one of those lists, huh?
Modern day stars such as Andrew Luck, Carson Palmer, Matthew Stafford, veteran Steve DeBerg, Trent Green, Burt Jones, Matt Schaub. But anyway, here's number 10 on the list. And I don't even think this should be on the list. Jeff Blake. Jeff Blake was so mediocre during his 13-year career, he played for the Bengals, Saints, Cardinals, Ravens, Bears, Jets, Eagles. If you're playing for that many teams, why are you even on this list? Who cares if you
only came close 1 year?
Or maybe I should look at it that Jeff Blake was on so many teams, it's amazing he didn't make it to a Super Bowl. That's how I'm looking at that one. All right, number 9, Randall Cunningham.
Mm.
4 Pro Bowls, first team All-Pro in 98. Just 3-6 as a in the playoffs as a starter.
Should have made one with the Vikings. Missed kick.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Number 8.
He almost got there with
the Vikings.
With the Vikings. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, Chris was saying.
Oh, and Jay.
Jay Cutler, number 8.
Oh, that fight.
Started just 2 playoff games with
Jay
1-1.
Get him out of here.
I don't know why he's on this list. Who cares that he didn't make
it? He did
playoffs?
Make an NFC championship
stupid.
Game.
Yeah, he did.
At number 7.
As Adam Gase will remind you.
How about Jeff Garcia?
Come on.
He was on some good 49er teams.
Yeah, but he wasn't good.
He was okay.
He was okay. That's my point.
He was with the Lions for a while.
Great.
He was with the
Eagles.
He was
a buck, wasn't he? He was a buck for a minute.
Probably. He played for a lot of teams.
Beat the Giants in that. Giants should have never lost that game.
Never.
Huge comeback. 2-4 as a starter in the playoffs.
2002, that 39-38 thriller.
Number six.
I remember that day. Was it where I was?
I was in Gainesville that day, of all places.
I was living in the North End in Boston, and it was a freaking blizzard. Thank God I lived right around the corner.
Kind of like later this week?
For the whole Midwest. Did you see the Midwest already? Oh. And it's going to the Northeast, too. They're screwed.
Looks miserable.
Yeah.
Number six, Jim Everett. Playing just 5 postseason games, 2-3, throwing 7 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions. I'm not that surprised Jim Everett didn't make it to the Super Bowl. Why is he on this list? His closest trip came in 1989. Started playoff games in 3 seasons. I'm going to move on from him. Here's a good quarterback.
Jim Hart. Yeah.
180 regular season games, only 2 starts in the playoffs, lost them both. But he was on some bad teams. The Cardinals.
And he was replaced by the immortal Neil Lomax. Another tough luck. Cardinals.
Where's
QB.
Jay Fiedler on this list?
He's not on this list.
Oh, come on.
At number 4, Tony Romo. Ranks 5th.
Very fair.
In NFL history, career passing rating with a 97.1 and yards per attempt at 7.9. Did not make it to a Super Bowl with the Cowboys.
Because he couldn't catch a snap Anthony in Hitchens. Seattle.
At number 3.
You didn't want to talk about that?
Oh, which one? What?
The Cowboys beat the Lions in the wild card round. Remember in 2014?
Yes.
And the refs controversially reversed a PI call on Anthony Hitchens without explanation.
Yes.
Which
then led to the catch, non-catch? I can't remember. They all blend together.
Yes.
Just another time that the referee screwed the Lions. I'm used to it.
Get over it. They gave you the ball when the bus called heads and it was
That's
tails.
That's the only break I've ever got.
I don't care.
Chris.
Thanksgiving Day.
Jeff Rice, I'm still mad at you. At number 3, Dan Fouts never made it to a Super Bowl. A little surprise, his career record was 86-84-1. 3-4 in the playoffs.
Yep.
Always in the mix.
Hard to believe he only had 7 playoff games.
It was. At number 2, and this is the one I would put at number 1, Warren Moon.
So is Philip Rivers number 1?
Philip Rivers is number 1 on this list.
But Warren Moon, it wasn't his fault. You're up 35-3 at the half. Buffalo comes back to win 41-38. Frank Reich, yes, that one.
Yeah, that one.
One of the most unbelievable games ever. Ever.
It was.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah, I would put Warren Moon number 1. He's already in the Hall of Fame. Phillip Rivers probably will get there, but yeah, no Super Bowl for Phillip Rivers. Enjoy watching him play against the Raiders tonight.
He should have made a Super Bowl.
The Chargers?
Yeah.
Which one am I forgetting?
The 14-2 team. Yeah, the 0-16 that lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
That was his best shot.
Yep.
Best shot at getting it, and Pete, you're absolutely right. Yep. LaDainian Tomlinson cowered out of that game.
No, not that one. He cowered out.
Was that
next
a different
year.
One?
They were in the AFC Championship the following year against the Patriots, and that's the one he played one play and set out well. But they were up 21-13, the Chargers were. Patriots had a 4th-and-5 on the San Diego 41 with 6:25 to go. Brady threw a pick to Marlon McCree, and then McCree fumbled during the return and handed the ball back to the Patriots with a new set of downs. And then afterwards, it was the fumble on the kickoff.
Ooh, good one. Archie Manning.
Oh, yeah. No, but
yeah, I would have put Archie on that list.
But no, but the problem with Archie, though, is, yes, to never get to a Super Bowl, but every team, New Orleans was so bad.
Well, I think Jim Hart falls in that same category with the Cardinals.
Those Cardinals teams weren't as bad as those. New Orleans teams were really, really bad when he was there.
Carl McKay, why are you asking for Phil Simms? Phil Simms has 2 Super Bowl rings.
Who's asking Phil Simms?
Carl the Cape.
Oh, no. Yeah. Come on, Carl.
And one of them, she played. I've told you this story before. The first time I ever interviewed Phil Simms, I introduced him as a former Super Bowl winner. He interrupted me and said, no, 2-time Super Bowl winner. I didn't have the moxie to say, no, Jeff Hostetler won one of them while you sat your ass on the bench. But, I was a kinder, gentler host.
You know, in that year, Hostetler was, I think he got cut in camp.
And brought back, right?
And brought back,
After opening day?
Yes.
Was it one of those salaries?
Right around there. It's a great story. It really is.
Yeah. paratrooper is Eric Kramer on the list. No, he's not on that list. But he was,
neither
on the,
was Eric Kippel.
He was on the best.
Gary Danielson.
Eric Kramer was on the best Lions team I've ever seen.
Don Majkowski. 91.
Yeah, about
Steve
that.
Steve Berline. Mark Wilson.
We can go on and on. Those are mediocre players.
Yes, they are.
The idea is to have the top 10. And I don't agree with that top 10. That was Bill Barnwell of ESPN, by the way.
I still would put, even though we only got seven players, number one for me would be, I think I'd put Fouts up there.
I would go Warren Moon.
And Warren Moon right there. 1 and 1A. You're right. One and 1A.
So Monkey Knife Fight has just been announced as the official daily fantasy sports partner of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Wow. So you can bet all those crazy things. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
That's a prop bet site. That's not a point spread site.
Nope,
that's a prop bet.
I don't know that people are familiar with it because we just learned about it like last week.
Monkey
Why don't they advertise with
so
this?
They do, so it's prop bets, and it's perfectly legal. It's based out of Southern California. It's actually based out of San Diego, which should be a little interesting with the Chargers being the official team for them now. But a lot of fun. And tonight, I just got this email. Tonight, if you play in an NFL game there, you can you'll automatically be entered to win an autographed jersey signed by the entire team.
Wow.
So I've already entered.
You're getting personal emails from this site already? Well, you're moving fast.
Yeah.
You're all registered, locked and loaded, huh?
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, I'll tell you who Kyler Murray thinks should win the Heisman Trophy. And don't forget, next hour, we've got Wikipedia. And Tim Brando will join us from Fox Sports. We'll talk some college football. You know it'll be good. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Thursday. Got some Thursday night football tonight. Week 10 underway already in the National Football League with the Chargers and the Raiders. Don't forget, later on in the program, Tim Brando from Fox Sports will be with us. Get his thoughts on LSU and Alabama.
Very passionate about college football.
Very.
Upset.
He's upset?
Well, he disagrees with a lot of what the committee has done.
As do
he
I.
He makes a lot of great points. I agree with some of the things he says. I don't agree with others, but that's what makes it, you know, great.
He speaking of college football, Kyler Murray, who won the Heisman at Oklahoma and is now with the Arizona Cardinals, gave his clubhouse letter.
Thanks for that.
Well, also keep in mind he gets to vote too, right?
Yeah, one vote.
He said he knows a Heisman winner when he sees it. Kind of bragging a little bit. Humble brag, if you will. He says Joe Burrow is his guy. At LSU, he said Jalen Hurts kind of hurt himself in that Kansas State game.
Tough
fact
to argue. He's been pretty great.
Yeah. Pretty pro looking, too. Looks like
he can
handle himself in offense.
Yeah. It's a little thing, but Joe Brady. Joe Brady, the quarterback coach from the Saints that came over, is now the offensive coordinator for LSU. He's done a lot with Burrow.
Could be the next head coach of Florida State.
Well, that's a thing. What a hot commodity he's going to be, right?
He's already a hot commodity. They're going to try really hard to keep him in Baton Rouge, and they might be able to for another year or so, but eventually that guy will get the keys to a program.
See, you're with the Saints. You already got Drew Brees, so if he's great, you don't get any credit for that.
Right, right.
You go over to Louisiana, and you take a quarterback that was kind of mediocre the year before, and all of a sudden he's like the best quarterback in college football.
Yep.
That's going to turn some heads.
It's not even just the quarterback, though. It's the whole style.
It's the whole offense,
with Edo and everybody. I mean, because they said the same thing last year. They're going to try it. They never did. But, I mean, right out of the gate, they looked – if you just didn't know what team, if they just wore one colored uniform of yellow, you would not know who they – you didn't know who they were.
I think they're from the Big 12.
Oregon,
what team
right?
Is this?
Yeah. Pac-12, yeah.
So they deliver a lot of credit.
He's
Edo might get coach of the year. He might.
Yeah.
If he wins this week, this exhibition.
I think James Franklin would be on that list, depending what happens.
Oh, yeah.
P.J. Fleck needs to be on that list.
I think Day needs to be on that list. That's a hard...
Day. I mean, you come in...
I think that's tough. You take over for a guy like that, and everybody expected, including myself, a little bit of a dip, because that's been Urban Meyer's M.O. when he's left. There's been a dip in every program he's left. That, if anything else, they're playing better.
And a guy who is under the radar... Every single year, Kyle Whittingham at Utah, He's turned that program into the picture, the model of consistency. They're going to bring a really talented defense to the field every single weekend. The offense isn't explosive like we think about in the Pac-12, but it does enough. It runs the ball. When they don't turn the ball over and they don't put their defense in bad spots, it's a really tough team to beat. The problem is you get into like a Pac-12 championship game last year, Huntley threw three interceptions on three consecutive passes against Washington, and that was the difference in the Pac-12 championship last year.
I think Jim Harbaugh, coach of the year, most improved team from start to finish. Almost lost to Army. Showed some moxie at Penn State.
How did he beat
Notre
Army?
Dame and Ohio State down the stretch.
How did he beat Army?
Man, tough sledding, man. I'm going to ask Tim Brando that, what Brando thinks Harbaugh's future is, too, because I honestly don't know anymore. I thought he was as good as fired after Army and the debacle against Wisconsin.
I think he's gone if they lose to Ohio State. If they beat him,
that's my question. If they beat him, does he stay? But I don't think they have any chance.
But they might. Some might already have. They might made their mind up that he's out.
Somebody may have also made up their mind that he's staying and they're absolutely just going to keep their head in the sand and keep rolling on.
But because Michigan's seen the other side.
Yeah,
Michigan's seen that. It's not the easiest to go out and replace a coach that is at least winning the games he's supposed to win.
Plus, also keep in mind, the difference between, say, Michigan and, say, Florida State, you don't see empty seats at the Big House. You haven't seen empty seats at the Big House for 30 years. So the cash cow is still rolling. But, you know, they are paying him $7 million a year. Expect a couple more wins out of that.
No, they expect a college football playoff appearance at the very least.
You're right.
And they say they've been saying that for how long?
Well,
he's been there
forever.
5 years.
Not just with him, for a long time.
Yeah.
Long, long time.
Not happening yet.
Well, they thought it'd be easy to replace Lloyd Carr.
Look, Moeller.
Gary Moeller was coached before him.
What if they lose a close game to Ohio State? Does that save his job?
Yes.
You think
a
three-point
game or under seven?
This team gave up 62 points.
You might be right, but I really thought after Wisconsin, which followed Army, he was out. But you might be right.
Yeah.
Are you right because we physically saw the turnaround in the second half against Penn State and the Notre Dame game?
Dame game goes a long way.
I think it does, too.
In that part of the country, that goes a long way.
I think it was huge. He had to win that game. If he had lost that game, I'm not sure he would have a job, to be honest, like you said, because of the Army situation, because of how humiliating they looked against Wisconsin. But, I think they redeemed themselves second half against Penn State and obviously against Notre Dame, although I think Kelly coached like crap in that game. And I know the weather was horrible, and I get it, but that was as predictable an offense as I've ever seen. No originality at all. No adjustments.
We keep getting a lot of texts about Brent Venables going to Florida State.
He's never leaving.
He's not leaving Clemson. His son is going to be a freshman on Clemson's football team starting next season. He's the lowest rated recruit for Clemson right now that signed with the program.
Got a free ride there.
But Brent Venables staying there for another 4 years, man.
I agree with
he's
you.
He's staying there. Once his kid leaves, maybe.
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 And that's a maybe.
He might be in a position where he's simply waiting for Saban to leave Alabama because he knows Dabo's going to go to Alabama and he can take over the Clemson gig.
Or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's all in the thought process. I really do. All right, we're late. Coming up the 4 o'clock hour, which includes Wikipedia. If you missed it earlier, AB is being AB again, in case you missed it.
Oh, this is ultimate. This is AB part deux. Or no, really.
More than that. Port Quattro, something.
Ridiculous.
He said French. You went Spanish. Way to go, guys.
We're international. What can
Italian.
I say? Multi-talented. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.